Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, mighty prophet of the Lord.
So I wanted to share a little bit on something very important here that might help you even as we navigate our way through the busyness, the busy milieu of this hour, of this world, towards the glorious coming of the Messiah, our Lord. Well, I want to talk a little bit today about Matthew 25 as a very important scripture that if we bring to heart can really go a long way in establishing our resolve to pursue the glorious coming of the Messiah, our Lord. Now, I have several versions here. I'll read Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, but I will focus on NIV for now. And there is even Amplified, which I can read. I can read Amplified and NIV. So, in NIV he says, "But at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." Those of you who are tuned in, if you have the privilege and opportunity to have a piece of paper and pen, you can always write down some of the things that will come out of this conversation. And again, it says, "At that time, the kingdom of heaven would be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all, the wise and the foolish, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.'" Verse 7, "Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps." Verse 8, "The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out.'" Verse 9, "No, they replied, 'There may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves.'" Verse 10, "But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. 'Sir, sir,' they said." You know, the other versions say, "Lord, Lord." Here he says, "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I do not know you." Then verse 13, he says, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." So I want to launch this conversation this evening, this very blessed conversation, to people who are listening across the globe and also terrestrially in Kenya and even via the web streaming. I want to share some few very important observations I have made on this scripture. The Lord led me to make these following observations here. I know that I have the Amplified also, and the Amplified says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, he says, faultless, without forethought, and five were wise, meaning sensible, intelligent, and prudent. So when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any extra oil with them. He says extra oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil along with their lamps also. While the bridegroom lingered and was slow in coming, they all began nodding their heads and fell asleep. Verse 6. He says, At midnight there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom, go out to meet him." Verse 7, he says, "Then all those virgins got up and put their own lamps in order," meaning they trimmed their wicks, "and put their own lamps in order. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.'" Verse 9, he says, "But the wise replied, 'There will not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the dealers and buy,'" he said dealers, "to the dealers and buy for yourselves." Verse 10 says, "But while they were going away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were prepared went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Later, other virgins also came and said, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.'" Verse 12, he replied, meaning from the inside, "I solemnly declare unto you, I do not know you. I am not acquainted with you." Verse 13, Watch therefore, give strict attention, and be cautious and active, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come." So I think this is a very important conversation that ought today to be at the center of every discourse and every preaching that is currently ongoing in church. We see, first of all, that in this conversation, the Lord Jesus brought it about in the inside of a longer conversation, in the middle of a bigger conversation, when the Lord Jesus was essentially talking about the end of the time. It was a long sermon, a long preaching, and a long teaching when the Messiah, the Christ, was talking. He was teaching and preaching regarding the end of the age, the coming end of the age. So, in that conversation regarding the coming end of the age, then right in the middle, the Lord places this parable, the parable of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. But I want to raise out something, some key things out of that very important parable that the Lord blessed the church with. Number one, you see very clearly, if you go through the entire Bible and the ministry of our Lord Jesus, then you will see very clearly that most of the parables that Jesus gave were indeed about the coming kingdom of God. They were about the coming realm of God. If you go through the Bible, and decided to pick out and pull out the parables that Jesus gave. All of them, really, were really talking about the coming kingdom of God. And you see, the way Matthew documents this in the book of Matthew, the way the Holy Spirit put it down in the book of Matthew, you find that he says the kingdom of heaven, as I've just read, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. And by kingdom of heaven, you see that Matthew uses heaven, the Holy Spirit employs him, helps him very much to translate, to designate. He designates heaven, the kingdom of heaven, he designates heaven for God. So even as he says that the kingdom of heaven will be likened unto 10 virgins, he essentially means the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is what Matthew represents here as the kingdom of heaven. And that is very important, because Matthew brings out the sovereignty of the Lord. The Holy Spirit in the book of Matthew really stretches out and establishes, he extends now the might of this parable, because he brings out in this parable the sovereignty of the Lord, meaning all the heavens indeed belong to God. And that's why you see Matthew says the kingdom of heaven in reference to the kingdom of God. Matthew is essentially laying a very important point, is laying a very important argument here, in the sense that he's saying that the entire heavens, even now and at that time, will have been purged off anything that is not godly. We know too well that at the time of the fall, then Satan was cast out of heaven. So Matthew, in just that first verse, brings out a very important discussion, because he says the kingdom of heaven in reference to the kingdom of God, meaning every expanse of heaven indeed belongs to God, indeed hosts the presence of the Lord. I do not want you listeners to miss out on that very important point right from the beginning, but in the way the Holy Spirit lays this out in the book of Matthew, he says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be likened unto 10 virgins, meaning the kingdom of God, meaning the heavens enjoy the sovereignty of the Lord. The heavens belong unto the Lord. But most importantly, though, I want to raise some key, very important towers that shoot out, that stand out in this parable. And I would think that the most important part of this parable that really stands out, there are quite a few, but the one that really stood out for me is Matthew 25, verse 13, when he says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. And I think that is the most important warning that comes through. Because if you look at the entire spectrum of that conversation from Matthew 25, verse 1, and you go all through, it spans up to verse 13. And like I said, it came in when the Lord was busy talking about the entire big dispensation about the end of the age. And then, in the middle of that conversation on the dispensation of the end of the age, on the occurrences of, at the end of the age, then he inserted, in the middle of that discussion, he inserted this parable, as I say. And by so doing, it would be very, very important for everyone to understand that the Lord was intending to highlight some things. That's why he placed it. He deliberately placed this parable in the middle of that long sermon, the long teaching, and the long preaching about the end of the age. And he inserts in this parable about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And I think the most important thing the Lord wanted to raise there is the following. The two things. He wanted to talk about preparedness. So you see, in as much as he's talking about the end of the age, which is really the nearest down, then he brings in this about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So the first thing that he raises there is about preparedness. And when you look at the end of the spectrum, judgment. So the two important towerings, the tower out from this scripture, is the fact that when he places this parable at the center of that big conversation, I followed it, I saw a big conversation the Lord was speaking, preaching and sermon and teaching about the end of the age. So he was really talking about the prophetic timeline. But inside that conversation, he inserts in the middle, he inserts this tremendous parable of the 10 virgins, 5 being wise and the other 5 being foolish. And so because of that act of placing this conversation in the midst, right in the middle of that whole talk on the end of the age, then you see that the Lord was intent on raising out, on highlighting two very important things, points. One of them, I've said, is preparedness. How prepared? How should you prepare? How prepared are you? Preparedness. And the second one, at the end of the spectrum of that conversation, you see him talk about judgment, the end of the age, the massive, unquenchable judgment of the Lord that will befall the earth and the universe thereof. So, eventually, I said, after seeing that the two towers are the preparedness and the judgment, then I was so blessed when I read this. What shot out for me is Matthew 25, verse 13, when he said, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. And I think that's the most important thing that shot out, that he raised very, very significantly in that conversation. In other words, he was raising that for the following reason. He was saying that there is appointed unto all men. There is an appointed day. He was raising the fact that that preparedness, that verse 13, where he said, keep watch, after seeing what happens in the parable, the shutting of the door and the unpreparedness of the foolish virgins and the wise trimming lamps, the sharing of the oil, don't share, no, the fear for plunder, go buy for yourself. After all that, the most important thing he raises is verse 13. Because verse 13 is the one that now warns, if there is any verse that warns this sleepy world about preparedness. Why? The perils of not preparing. He warns about preparedness, the importance of preparing. However, in the background of, if you don't prepare, the ultimate judgment that comes at the end of the age. And so you see very clearly that in that warning of Matthew 25, verse 13, the Lord is essentially speaking to this sleepy world. You see very clearly, again, that if there is any verse at all in this parable that lays warning, that is warning this sleepy world, and if you look at the world today, you really see that humanity is so much asleep. If you travel to many nations, you'll find them really engaged in very busy programs about their lives on the earth here. You'll find people traveling in vehicles, even now in Kenya, and they're all focused on, I want to reach over there to pursue a program there, see my family there, get married where, go to school where. So there's so much busyness that the world, that mankind is involved in, that essentially constitutes drowsiness and sleepiness that the Lord is talking about. And when you see people traveling, you know, by aircrafts, by trains, by buses, by, you know, all means, bicycles, tuk-tuk, by, you know, there's so much traveling, there's so much busyness in the offices, at schools, hospitals, people are working, people are involved in other things, all over the business world. So if you look at the entire world in its totality, you really see that the entire world is right now sleeping. They are so busy engaged in their programs to the extent that it constitutes the sleepiness, the drowsiness, and the sleepiness, the nodding of heads. However, in this parable, the Lord then brings out Matthew 25. And Matthew 25, the Holy Spirit uses the Lord very much to raise for those two areas. Number one, the area of preparedness and the final judgment. And because he was talking about the final judgment, the end of the age, so that preparedness comes in the middle of talking about that coming judgment. So it really becomes a wake-up call to this drowsy world on the importance of preparedness. And you see very clearly here that even the church, if you look at the Church of Christ at this hour, she's so busy with programs, these projects and programs, and the Paschal services, traditional services, which are set out, like some of the churches set out from January. They set out the entire agenda of how they will run the worship and the preaching and the reading for all the Sundays across the year. So that too in the church constitutes the drowsiness and the sleepiness. And so Matthew 25:13 now comes in handy when he says, it is appointed unto all men a day, a special day, when, one, there will be death. That is one of the realities that Matthew raises, that the Holy Spirit raises in Matthew 25:13. He raises a warning unto the sleepy world, the drowsy and sleepy world, by telling them, look, there is a day that has been appointed, the day of reckoning, the day of judgment. It is the day when all men, you know, those who will be then at that instant, that moment, alive, will die. And after this, there is judgment. And he's using that to speak to the current generation. And he's telling them that the life you are living is not unlimited. A day will come when you will die, either before the rapture of the church, or after the rapture if you are not taken. And so, still raising that very important issue of preparedness. And he says, but this Matthew 25:13 becomes a very significant awakening to the drowsy population of this day. And he's telling them that even as they go about their life through this Matthew 25:13, even as the whole world is doing its life, that there is a day when the heavens will indeed roll up. They'll be wrapped up like a scroll, like this scroll. And the elements will melt. He says, through tremendous fervent heat, unquenchable fire, the Bible puts it in Matthew, unquenchable fire will burn up everything that belongs to this world. And so, the Lord is using this again in Matthew 25:13 to tell the world that, look, you may go on doing your business as usual, doing your life as usual. You may go on living life on this earth as though it has no limit. When you look at mankind today, when the Lord sometimes lifts me up above the earth and I look at the entire earth, and you see that they're so occupied with all the things they are doing, with the busyness of their lives, pursuing things, education, in hospitals, business, and name it, and everything, travel. But he's saying to them essentially that this life is not unlimited. He's using Matthew 25:13 to raise forth the warning. He says, therefore, keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Meaning, he's saying that all this will one day come to an end. And if there is any scripture at all that really raises a serious wake-up call to today's drowsy world, drowsy and sleepy meaning they are busy doing their thing. That is the sleepiness. But they are not alert unto the warning that the Messiah comes at the midnight hour. And then this is the scripture then that warns them. And he says, but the judgment that is coming will burn up the whole earth. Everything under the earth will melt, will really be burnt up by the unquenchable fire, the fervent heat that will come from the fire of the judgment of the Lord. We have shared this very much, even as I talked about the Lamb of God and what Moses was saying when he encountered this glorious cloud that has now settled in the house. And he was being instructed on how to prepare Israel. And I've shared very clearly that when the lamb was being offered, the burning, the total burning with fire, I said that signifies the judgment of God. But that is the same fire I am talking about here. But the Lord is saying that therefore keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour. And in that keep watch warning, it was in the middle of a conversation about the judgment of unquenchable fire at the end. And so he's using this warn the earth. He says, be careful. Please, watch out. Because all these things you're doing will one day come to an end. And those who arise should watch out. In other words, he's saying every soul, every nation, every language stands summoned to appear before the dreadful tribunal, the judgment, the courts of judgment of that day. The dreadful, the fearsome, fearful tribunal of the Lord. The righteous justice of God. That is what Matthew 25, verse 13 raises. He raises the fact that there is need to watch out. There is need to be careful. There is need to be prudent, even as people are busy wherever they are. To be careful. Why? Because every soul, every living soul, every soul that has ever lived, he said, every soul that has ever lived, every man, some of them have gone to sleep. Every nation, every language will stand summoned on that day. There will be someone to appear into this tremendous commission, this powerful, dreadful tribunal of God, judgment of God, to judge them righteously. And that's why he emphasizes righteousness in that preparedness. And it's very important to understand or to highlight here that in that judgment that Matthew 25, 13 warns and therefore announces the need for preparedness, that judgment that the Lord was talking about, it is a judgment that will bring forth fruit to some people, those who have done good. Those who have done good, that when they stand before that righteous judgment, they will get reward for being watchful, for keeping watch. And those who have not done good will be judged by the wrath of God. For them, it will be a day of damnation. So what then is the Lord saying, highlighting through this Matthew 25, 13? He's essentially saying, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day of the hour. Why? Because a day is coming. A day has been appointed unto man when they shall appear before this dreadful tribunal of God, commission of God, this dreadful justice of God, the righteous justice. And on that day, he says, every man will be judged according to the deeds they have done while they are in their body, in these current bodies they were. That's why he raises the warning of keep watch. So he's essentially saying, but keep watch because, hey, if you don't prepare, a day is coming when there will be either judgment or reward unto all men, because all have been summoned to appear before that tribunal, before that commission of judgment, of justice, before that court of justice, before the righteous seat of the Lord. And he says, And when all will appear before the throne, some will be judged and others rewarded. And this will happen according to the deeds they have done while they are in their body. Hence,